Interesting gospel lesson. This Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is known as Good Shepherd Sunday because each year in this three-year cycle we have of lessons we read, each year the gospel lesson is focused on Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Or sort of. Today, our lesson didn't quite get to verse 11 where Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. And so we're left with Jesus saying, I am the gate? So what is that all about? Well, if you've been here at St. Timothy's for any amount of time, you know that whenever we get to a scripture lesson that is puzzling, the recommendation is always look at what happened just before it or what comes just after it. And often that will provide a clue as to what's going on in the lesson. And if we look right before the scripture lesson, Jesus has just healed a man who was blind from birth. And all was good until the jealous Pharisees decided to haul him in along with his parents and grill them and asked exactly what had happened. And they didn't particularly like his answers when he said that Jesus had healed him and that his opinion was that Jesus couldn't do anything of this sort unless he were from God. Well, the Pharisees were not pleased. And so they just threw him out of the synagogue, basically excommunicated him. And then Jesus comes along afterwards, finds him there. And then we find Jesus saying to him, Jesus heard they'd cast him out. And having found out, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who speaks to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now you say, we see, your guilt remains. So we have a little tension going on here, especially when Jesus then immediately goes on right after that and says to the Pharisees, not to the disciples, but to the Pharisees, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And then he adds, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Which, being aimed at the Pharisees, leads to some rather heated discussion right after this reading, as you can well imagine. So it's not a setting of sweetness and light, of a warm, fuzzy picture of Jesus, the gentle shepherd, carrying the little lamb over his shoulders. Some other stuff is going on, including the strange statement from Jesus that, I am the gate. Now, although Jesus' words are directed at the Pharisees, there must have been others around. Someone wrote all this down. And the fact that it ends up in the Bible means that his words are for you and me as well. Yes, Jesus has things to say to us here, and his method is to use familiar images so that people could understand. And so he talks about sheep and shepherds and gatekeepers and gates and sheep pens or sheepfolds. The difficulty is that most of us don't know a whole lot about these sorts of things. And especially if you are young, you may never have actually even seen a real live sheep. So, for you kids, maybe even for some of the adults, here's the idea. First of all, sheep, as you may have heard, are not so very smart. They're so focused upon the grass right in front of them that they're eating that they don't see the wolf sneaking up on them. So they need a shepherd to guide them and lead them and protect them from the wolf and eventually to lead them home at night. During the daytime, the shepherd takes care of the sheep, leading them from one grassy area to another. At night, though, they need a safe place to rest so the wolf can't get at them or a thief can't come to steal some of them. So folks would build sheepfolds or sheep pens, basically a wall around the sheep with a gate or an opening at one end. And at night, the shepherd would bring the sheep, and the gatekeeper would open the gate, and the sheep would go inside, and there the sheep could sleep, and the gatekeeper would close the gate, and the shepherd could go home and get some sleep too. Sometimes, instead of an actual gate, the gatekeeper would lie in that opening, blocking it, so sheep couldn't get out and no one else could get in, and would have to stay awake during the night to kind of be guarding the sheep, making sure that there weren't any wolves or any thieves coming along. So who are the sheep in Jesus' story? Does it surprise you that you and I are the sheep? And the sheepfold is the kingdom of God, the place where God takes us to care for us and to provide for us and to protect us, give us what we need. So this is why in today's gospel lesson, Jesus doesn't yet say, I am the good shepherd, or even that I am the gatekeeper, but rather I am the gate. Remember that picture of the gatekeeper lying in the opening of the gate? Jesus is saying that because he is the way into the sheepfold, he is the gate. Not the Pharisees who were making up all kinds of little laws and rules and such, but rather Jesus is the way that we come to God and become children of God and enter into his sheepfold or his kingdom. We enter through faith and trust in him. That's what Easter is all about. Because of our selfish turning in upon ourselves and away from God and away from our neighbor, God did the unexpected. Instead of lowering the boom on us, God lowered his son into the world to take our sin upon him on the cross and to put his goodness upon us. The Pharisees, who were normally pretty good students of the Bible, had just missed this point about God and grace. They totally didn't understand what Jesus was all about. And so they had constructed, again, all of these rules and laws and things that you just had to do in order to get on the right side of God. And it simply made life oppressive and a real slog. And this is where Jesus finally drew a line in the sand and said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Or a verse that some of us may have learned, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And so we do, because of Jesus. But now let's get back to the sheep. We are the sheep in this story, after all. I mentioned the sheep aren't too smart, and that's true, although that isn't the point that Jesus makes here. There's many ways in which sheep aren't very smart, but there's one way in which they're probably smarter than the rest of us, and that is they know the voice of their shepherd, and they pay attention to it, and they follow it. And that's the point that Jesus is making. There may be a lot of other voices, a lot of competing voices, voices of other shepherds, perhaps voices of thieves and robbers. But the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, and they follow him. Competing voices. We live in a world filled with competing voices. Advertising, entertainment, Facebook, sports, Netflix, the list goes on and on. If you're a serious follower of Jesus, the signal-to-noise ratio can get pretty low. Jesus uses the example of sheep and shepherds because everybody knew what he was talking about. Today, if Jesus were to come and to speak to us directly, he might use an example of people who are distracted by their phones or by Facebook, or, well, like I said, the list just goes on and on for us. You see, Jesus was speaking to people with limited opportunities for distracting entertainment, unlike us. People living in a culture when, at the end of the day, as the sun would go down, they would go home and they would have dinner, and then they would look forward to an evening with no electricity, no television, no telephones, no television, no video games. What on earth did they do? They talked. They talked with one another, parents and children. They talked. They told stories. They told stories about what had happened during the day, stories of their families, stories of what God had done for their ancestors and what He continued to promise to do for them. They would also sometimes talk about what they were planning to do the next day and how they were going to live their life in thankfulness for all that God had done for them and promised them. I sometimes think of the way life is portrayed in that marvelous musical Fiddler on the Roof, with that marvelous setting of the sun on Sabbath Eve, the scene when the mother, Golda, lights the Sabbath candles, and all the family gathers together to reflect upon their week and who they are before God, and to ask God's blessing upon them and their small community. Even with a specter of darker times hovering over them, even with the threat of a Russian pogrom, they could yet center themselves in the knowledge that God was still God and they were still His people, and they took the time to do so. So how is all that working out for you today? Perhaps about the same as it's working out for me. Yes, even pastors have trouble clearing the decks of emails and telephone calls and evening news and Netflix and all the rest until suddenly it's midnight, and where, oh, where did the time go, and what happened to that moment I was going to set aside to sit back and listen to the voice of the shepherd and to read in His word and to come before Him in prayer? When I think of Jesus trying to speak to us today, I often think of a CEO sitting in front of a big conference table with all of his VPs sitting around with their laptops, half of them doing Facebook and polishing up their resumes. Or what about our pastor teaching a confirmation class, looking around and seeing a number of students looking down, not at their notes, not even at the table, but sort of under the edge of the table, texting. Now, it's been 7 years since I taught confirmation here at St. Timothy's, so by now I can probably be honest about what goes on here. And my answer is, I'll never tell. And so some of you who are now sitting out there home from college, perhaps, your secret is safe with me. So Jesus compared Himself to a gate, and then to a shepherd, for a number of reasons. But for me, the most interesting reason is that matter of the voice. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd, but what happens to distracted sheep? What happens to you and me as followers of Jesus, as convinced followers of Jesus, but distracted followers of Jesus, distracted by all of the entertainment and social media and gaming and Netflix, to the extent that even with the extra time we may have on our hands these days, we may miss taking the time to hear the voice of our shepherd? And I'm not talking to people outside the church or outside the faith, though I hope some of those may be listening today as well. Rather, I'm talking to people like me, perhaps like you, who can so fill the extra hours with me stuff that the voice of the shepherd just sort of gets lost in the noise. Last week, I came across a quotation from evangelist and writer W. Ian Thomas, which I've thought about ever since. He wrote, "The measure of one's worth is the measure in which one no longer lives to and for oneself, but to and for Jesus Christ, no more, no less. The flesh, everything that you do apart from him, profits nothing, John 6:63. And there's always the awful possibility, if you do not discover this principle, that you may spend a lifetime in the service of Jesus Christ doing nothing. That you may spend a lifetime in the service of Jesus Christ doing nothing. Well, not nothing at all, of course, but maybe nothing of what God is really calling you to do. Perhaps simply because of distracting voices. So let's turn at least one element of this very trying shelter-in-place situation into something beneficial. You, like many, may have a bit of extra time on your hands these days. For some, it's a challenge as you move into the evening hours, how to fill those evening hours without one more binge watch of Star Trek or Downton Abbey. Let me suggest that many of us, perhaps you included, are not used to and are even a bit uncomfortable with having some extra unscheduled time, or especially sitting just with ourselves and our own thoughts, as people of previous generations did all the time. Now, I know that for some, the house is chaotic with kids from morning to night, and there just may be no help for it. But if you do come to the end of the day and start having to fill those hours with Netflix or YouTube or Facebook or whatever, think about this. Perhaps in this particular, in this trying time in our history, try to look for a quiet corner where you can sit back and reflect and listen for the voice of the shepherd. Perhaps spend some time using those devotions that are being sent out daily in email from the staff to read through them and reflect on them and see where they lead you in your thoughts. Perhaps take some time on your own to be looking into God's Word and spending some time in prayer, asking, Lord, how might you want me to be reshaping my life at this particular time in history? What can I be doing to be really in sync with what you are doing even today, with life being so different? And then, if for this period of your life you're able to do that and it works out really well for you, continue doing that even once shelter in place is behind us, because it is eventually going to go away. I close with a final image. I remember seeing a picture one time of a couple of Middle Eastern flocks of sheep. One was headed north and one was headed east, and the two of them happened to meet. And instead of one of them pausing and letting the other one go by, they both just continued and intersected, and they passed right on through, one through the other, all the sheep paying attention to the voice of their shepherd. Not one of them got lost, not one of them ended up in the wrong flock, and they continued on their way. They each knew the voice of their shepherd because they each focused on that voice and ended up where they belonged. So, dumb sheep? Maybe sheep just realize they're dumb, and that in a world of competing voices, they focus carefully upon that voice of their shepherd. Maybe sheep aren't so dumb after all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many opportunities given to us in this day and age. Yet at the same time, we can find these many things, good things, competing against the best and most necessary thing, our walk and relationship with you. Help us to keep ears attuned to your voice, to that which you would say to us, in order that we might be completely invested in what you are doing in our world today. And then through all we say and do, may you be glorified and those around us be served and drawn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.